Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
We are trying to make a lot of sense out of what happened on Sunday and trying to figure out what's real and what's not real. And so to do so, we bring you on because you are the very best when it comes to the All 22. You're the very best when it comes to the breakdowns. Nobody else I'd rather talk to right now. So, Coach, let's get into it. And maybe do I butter you up just a little bit because I want you to be as kind as possible? Yeah, maybe so. But I know you're a straight shooter and you're not going to let that sway you one way or another. When it came to Shador on Sunday, shoot me with just the absolute truth and honesty. What did you like? What did you dislike? What did you see?
Well, the first thing that I liked was the impact he had on his teammates. And we talked about that before, is that having that impact, sometimes a quarterback change, whether it's warranted or not or whatever it is, sometimes that impact really helps everybody else for some reason play with a lot of juice. And that's what ended up happening. So his impact on his teammates was huge. And then he made some plays. And the thing I liked about him is they didn't showcase him. They allowed him to play within the scheme to try to win the football game. Now, throwing-wise, he was okay. I thought he made a great throw to Bond but more importantly on that throw, I loved that he knew where the blitz was coming from, and they brought six, and he knew where that sixth defender was coming from. So that was what's more impressive, because that's how you get out of blitz situations. You know where it's coming from, so you can get away from it. Then the interception he threw was a simple stick swing concept. Those are things that he messed up on that I think will come with reps. So if you ask me, I thought his actual throwing was very average to solid, but his impact on his teammates was pretty outstanding.
Lance, we saw in the Ravens game some of the bad habits of retreating from the line of scrimmage. We didn't see that against the Raiders. He took one sack. I think there was one play where I felt like he got himself in a little bit of trouble. He took a couple steps back, and it was a dump off pass. It was actually the roughing. They got a roughing penalty on that on the catch. I think it was to Dylan Sampson, got slammed down pretty hard, and they threw a flag. But outside of that, how would you grade how Shador handled the pressure, since that seems to be the area where he needed to improve the most?
I thought he did a really nice job. I thought you saw a really drastic improvement, right? So you're right. In the Ravens game, he really struggled those old habits. He didn't know he was going in. So there was a sense of calm. And I think it also helps those scripts are built for you, those first 10 to 15 plays, you know exactly where you're going with the football. Those are your favorite routes to throw. Those are the things that you feel most confident. And what that ends up doing is that makes you at ease, because you know it's kind of yours. It's your baby to kind of deal with. So I think you saw a drastic improvement just because he understood it was his game. He wasn't going anywhere, good or bad. I thought his footwork was very good. I thought his footwork was very good from underneath center in the gun. I thought he did a really nice job with his ball handling. You can tell he's been working at his craft. You hope now that the honeymoon's over and now that there's tape out there, now this is the next step for him. What is he going to do when teams take away some of the simple stuff and he's got to improve? But I thought it was a pretty good start. But in terms of the fundamentals and the things that he struggled with, I mean, you have to call it like you see it. He made a really, really great improvement from the prior week. So good for him, and hopefully that continues as he gets more and more pressure on him.
Were you surprised that the Raiders didn't seem like they put that much pressure at all? I assume they were going to just copy and paste what the Ravens attempted to do. And the Raiders don't have those players. They have Max Crosby. They don't have those players as a whole, though. But it didn't seem like they really brought the house the way that we all anticipated.
Well, you know, I thought it was going to be like that. The more and more that you usually when a quarterback comes in cold, you pressure him because he's not knowing what's going on. So you bring 5 or 6 man pressures. When a guy has a whole week to prepare, they kind of knew that was coming. So within that script, you saw the empty where he hit the hitch. Mm-hmm. All the things that he had built in, they had built in hots where they didn't really have to change anything. He knew exactly where to go, and he knew exactly, you know, they threw the little levels concepts and fanning with the check down and fanning on the little slam flat, we call it. So they had built in hots where he had an outlet built in. So usually what ends up happening with defenses, and you're going to see that more and more, now they're going to start mixing it up. They're going to start mixing up the coverages, the fronts. They're going to bring pressure. But, you know, that early on, when you get a quarterback who comes in, regardless of who they are, but when they come in after an injury or something like that, you usually heat them up just because they're coming in with no sense of what the game plan is or anything. So, I didn't think they were going to heat them up, JP, but I thought they were going to do more than they did. But as you said, they don't have the people that can get there. They didn't have the people to leave people. You know, they couldn't cover anybody. That was a very poor football team. So I think they were trying to do what's best for them. You know, it'll be a much bigger test with Asala this week and this 49ers defense.
Put yourself in Kevin Stefanski and Tommy Reese's shoes. What are you telling Shadur this week as they prepare for the 49ers? Give me one or two key coaching points of improvement that Shadur needs to focus on this week.
Well, he's going to have to focus on he saw a couple of times the checkdowns where it was almost late to the sideline with Samson. So he's going to have to go through his progressions and get rid of the ball. If he wants to take that checkdown, take it right away. He's also got, if you look at like the second drive where he overthrew Tillman, mm-hmm. He wants that one back because he had a checkdown. So it's the balance between taking your shots downfield, but also don't give up a free meal. So if they give you the checkdown, take it. Because what's going to end up happening is everybody knows Shadur likes to stretch the field. So you're going to get some linebackers who are dropping deep to try to get under those dig routes that he throws very well. If you look at like the fan-in route from the Ravens game, he likes to throw those deep in routes. So those backers are going to get a lot of depth. So I think what they're going to tell him, Darryl, is that, you know, if they give you that underneath, take it until they start coming up. Don't give up that free meal. We'll stretch it later, but let's get this defense playing honest because they know you like to, they know you like to stretch it down the field. And then once again, he's got to make sure that he gets to a second and third progression. They're going to want to see what he does now that there's a week of film. So all the stuff that he had success with, that quick stuff, the 49ers are going to take a lot of that away, but then hopefully he has an answer as well. And I think that's what they're going to tell him. Hey, they're going to work on this. We're going to do this. So that's what kind of the next progression is with a rookie quarterback who had a pretty solid first start.
Coach Riz joining us here on the Fan Hotline, the weekly hit that we do with Coach Riz. So you made your time slot. We appreciate that. But Coach, let me ask you, Jerry Jeudy, not thrilled with how that fumble went down. I found myself a little empathetic towards Jerry Jeudy. I don't know why. Maybe it's because it's like the biggest play we've seen him make all year, and then it just ended the way that it did. I understand Browns fans' frustration right now with the man, though. He's not playing good football. Are you at the spot where you got to reconsider the relationship that we have with Jerry Jeudy, or do you look at it like he made the catch, he won't fumble it next time, and maybe this is something we can grow with?
Well, I'm kind of in the middle, JP. So the first thing he's got, you know, he fumbles, he's got to change his body language, and he's got to change his approach to the media. He's got it. Those are things that you can control. So control the controllables. You know, he fumbled the ball. It was a great peanut punch. He didn't have to hop and do all that kind of stuff. But mistakes happen, especially with those receivers. Now, if I'm the Browns, I'm figuring it out. My dad used to tell me this all the time. If you have kids who are, you know, are not always with the team kind of vibe, Jerry Jeudy's the best they got on the outside. So he's the best they got. If they really want to win these next six games, they got to get him on board. Now, what happens in the offseason, who knows? But they got to get him on board and have him being positive because they're going to need him. And if Shadur Sanders or whoever else is that quarterback, they're going to need some big plays. Now, for him, I think he should show a level of excitement because they are going to stretch the ball downfield. Shadur likes to do that a lot more. So, that was a huge play. Really nice job avoiding pressure, moving out to your right, layering it over the top. and then he fumbles. But for me, it's not about his play. It's about his reaction to his play. We all make mistakes. We all have bad days. We all have bad days as coaches, players. You have to have a good body. You have to have good body language that everybody, you know, that's what we're all seeing, right? We're seeing his body language. We're seeing his frustration. Can't do that because then you end up playing worse and worse and worse. And then no one feels bad for you. So he's got to, for me, he's got to improve his body language. He's still the best player they got on the outside. They got to figure out touches and figure out what makes him happy so he can help this team win football games.
It was very successful on Sunday, but what did you make of the Wildcat direct snap stuff to Quinshon Judkins in the red zone with Shedeur Sanders on the sideline?
Well, I like it because, you know, when he's that quarterback, that gives you the plus one. So they have an extra. They brought Jenkins in the one. It was just a duo, like everybody get a hat on a hat. So I like that because it gives you that plus one. Now you have an extra blocker because he's at the quarterback. And then they ran where they just ran the jet and ran power, which has been one of their best plays over the last couple of years. So I think it's a good mix. I think it's a good mix up. It gives you, you can get into your best run game, but you can add an extra blocker, Daryl. So that's why I think it's really beneficial because they've struggled with base blocking. So when you put him at quarterback, it gives you an extra hat in there, an extra guy to block, and then you get that extra little push, especially down in the five. It's safe. It's simple. I liked it. I think it's a good mix-up, and it takes a little pressure off a quarterback because inside the five, it's real condensed down there and real fast. So I think that takes a little pressure off the quarterback as well.
All right, Coach. Shockingly enough, in a dominant defensive performance, we've not spent any time talking about the defense and what we saw there because we're so Shedeur heavy, and especially in this interview, this is where it goes. But tell me your favorite thing you saw on the defensive side of the ball as the last question we have for you today. What do you got?
They were menaces in there. That front four, if you go back and watch the film, Malik Collins, Graham, we all know Miles is doing his job, but the rest of those guys, Miles is playing at such a high level, but part of that is because the rest of those guys are also playing at a super high level. They're playing with their absolute hair on fire. Mason Graham and Malik Collins, you know, that's why he's getting a lot of those sacks are because they're getting inside pressure and they can't step up, and then Miles is getting home. So it's a total team effort. That defensive line is next level, and they're going to continue to get better and better.
All right, Coach, we'll continue to check you out over there at Cleveland.com, and then I'll talk to you once again on Sunday. We start at 10 o'clock this week. No 4 o'clock game for us this week. We're back in the 1 o'clock window. I'll see you at 10, friend.
Absolutely, guys. Have a good night.
All right, thank you so much. Coach Riz right there. 10 friends sounded really funny when I said it too, by the way. It sounded like it almost rhymed. Like, I'll see you at 10, friend, and then it just kind of came out that way.
Well, you are a wordsmith.
Yeah, that is exactly what that shows. I love doing the pregame with Coach because a lot of times Coach can just call it out before basically anybody sees what's going to happen on the field during the game. And it was amazing just kind of hearing him go through in some of the pregame conversations about the amount of pressure and really what you typically would think would happen in a game like that where they'd watch what the Ravens did and just unload and just really just bring the house. And then Coach was like, it's not really going to work that way. Like, pay attention to what happens in this game. Another thing Coach did that called out that came to fruition, he told us ahead of time, if you listen to the pregame show, he's like, Max Crosby is great. Max Crosby's not going to have a great game, though. Like, you're going to look up in the third quarter and be like, is Max Crosby even in this one? It's exactly what happened. You looked up in the third quarter and you're like, man, Max Crosby not really having much of an impact on that game. And the Browns were able to go ahead and see that one through. All right, 216-474-0092. Daryl, you have insight into the latest around the Browns Stadium. You have a new update on that. You have been sourcing people all day long. You're going to do a lot of the heavy lifting in this next segment, okay?
I'm ready to go.
I'm letting you know that right now. I have zero inside sources on that, and I don't really know any of the updates either, but you have important updates for the people. We'll do that and more next. It's Afternoon Drive right here on The Fan. In case we missed it, coming up in about 15 minutes, Odyssey Rewind. Go back and listen to our interview with Albert Breer at 5:20. He brought a lot of conversation to the table. I'm sure if Nick is back tomorrow, we'll react to some of it there. If not, I will react to it with whoever I am with. Daryl will be back in Berea tomorrow. And so we want to give Daryl this chance here. One of the guiding principles of doing this show when I'm with Nick is I always tell Nick in any sort of way, and I tell this to Jake, who obviously helps out a lot in producing the show, is like, if you feel great about something, you feel passionate about something, well, it could be about reading the dictionary. I want to hear it. You know what I mean? Like, if you really think you paint walls in a certain way, and you can make that interesting and you can make that passionate, I want to hear it. I
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on the team to win, and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select 1-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
I say that because you feel very passionate about the stadium discourse. I am at this point like, all right, they're building it. That's the reality. I took myself out of that conversation maybe about halfway through that conversation, mainly because, well, not that I wasn't interested in it. I was interested in it, but
it's okay.
Well, no, I mean, I stopped being interested in it for sure. But there was a part of me that just kind of came to the conclusion that if I'm not the one buying the season tickets and I'm not going to be the one that is then asked to pony up the big time bucks attached to the PSLs,
right?
Well, what am I going to say on the situation? You know, like I'm not the one that's going to be asked for $20,000 to pay for a PSL. So if I feel like it's great because I want to Taylor Swift concert in the future, that's nice, but the people that should have the seat at the table really are the people that are going to be ponying up the big time dollars for it. That was just my stance on it. About halfway through, I came to that conclusion. But you have something that you feel very passionate about and some insight into the latest around the stadium discourse and everything in between. You've been on the phones all day long sourcing out opinions, etc. Lay it out for me, and you better bring the heat.
Well, look, it's not that the Browns reached a $100 million settlement with Mayor Justin Bibb and the city of Cleveland to basically get them to do away with all the litigation, both parties. Of course, the Browns have the suit in federal court trying to get the whole Modell Law thing struck down and set aside. City of Cleveland is in county court trying to get damages from the Browns over this whole thing. And so they reached this $100 million settlement. Well, Cleveland City Council's not really wanting to play ball with this whole deal right now. And quite frankly, it puts it in jeopardy, this agreement. And they may end up having to go back to court to litigate this, which would not be fun for any of these sides. Why it's important is because they've already started moving dirt out in Brook Park. They're doing the site preparation right now so that they can break ground officially on the project and really begin the construction next year, first quarter next year. And the timeline is very important if they want to get the doors open by the preseason, which is August of 2029, the NFL season there. So there's a lot of political grandstanding going on right now. There's obviously not the greatest political relationship between the mayor and city council.
Yeah.
City council's not happy that the mayor negotiated this with the Cleveland Browns without them being involved. But guess what?
Oh, okay.
That's kind of how these things get solved.
So is that all it is? Is city council just upset that they didn't get a seat at the table?
Well, that's part of it. The other tentacle to this whole conversation is they don't feel they got enough.
So can they actually do something, though? That's what I want to know. Are they just going to whine and cry about it all and then just make a stink about it? Or can they actually do something about it?
Well, talking to folks today, there's basically two avenues. One, they rubber stamp it. And the fear is if they rubber stamp it, then they're signing off on the Browns leaving. And obviously, there's the emotional part of this, too. And it's like that part's already been, they're building in Brook Park.
I thought we were already done with that part of the conversation.
Right. You're not changing minds and hearts here. The funding from the state is in place. The Browns funding is in place. They're moving dirt. This project is happening, whether you're still crying about it or not. But the reason why this is important, Jonathan, is because, well, there is the legal aspect. And they reached the settlement. City council does have to sign off on the settlement. And city council's dragging their feet. The Browns were supposed to cut the first check, $25 million to the city of Cleveland. That was supposed to be cut by December 1st. This is not even being approved by December 1st. So the whole timeline of this agreement now has been thrown off. Okay?
Okay.
Like this process.
Which means, obviously, if they wanted to have something for 2029, maybe we're starting to talk about 2030 instead, maybe right. Even 2031.
Because part of the agreement that was reached with Bibb and the city of Cleveland was, there's a big deal was made of this. It's not a big deal. But should there be something that delays this project,
they can still play at the stadium.
They can still play in the existing stadium, two option years tacked on to the back end of the lease, with lease terms extended as opposed to, you need to stay in the stadium next year. We're going to hold your ransom for $10 million in rent for that year. You know, one of those toxic type of situations popping up. So there's all this stuff going on right now. The long and short of it is city council needs to get this thing approved so that the Browns can start cutting the checks to the city of Cleveland. The other thing, too, is they keep falling back to the arguments of the economic impact and the harm done to Cleveland and the fact that they still have $33 million in debt they have to pay towards the stadium over the final 3 years and all these things. They claim that, they could stay in the existing stadium and lower the fiscal responsibility from $11 million down to $7 million with a renovation. And look, that's all well and good. They're going to have to approve the deal.
What new deal does city council want? Do they just want their own credit for this? Is that the idea?
You
restructure it, and then all of a sudden it's like, we came in and saved the day. Is that all they're looking for?
Here's the thing. Mayor Bibb actually extracted more from the Browns than the team originally offered
kind of
the
city. I kind of felt like Mayor Bibb got as much as he possibly could, and maybe even then some, and all parties were just kind of happy with it, because the Browns get to build their stadium. Mayor Bibb, although it doesn't look great, he still comes out ahead in some sense of the word, but city council just wants their credit too? Is that all this is?
I think that's a big part of this too. But here's the reality from a financial standpoint. The city of Cleveland has not netted $70 million in cash from the Cleveland Browns since 1999 and the team coming back. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
The Browns are essentially over a period of time going to write checks in the amount of $70 million to the city of Cleveland. The rest of the settlement, whether it costs the Browns $2 million, $30 million, $50 million to tear down that stadium, the Browns are covering 100% of that cost and giving the city of Cleveland what's called a pad, is flat land to do with as they please. Develop it, put a park on it, whatever you want it, grow grass on it, put whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. That is the condition the Browns have agreed to leave that land. So it's just basically right now, it felt like when this agreement was reached that was going to be the end of this. Like, we're done. Everybody's moving forward. And, that happened in, mid-October. And you got basically Cleveland City Council right now is just dragging their feet because they didn't get a seat at the table. They don't want to act like that they're signing off on this agreement. They don't feel that the mayor got enough money from the Browns. All these things, but they basically have two avenues. One, you approve the deal, or two, you don't approve the deal, and you walk away with this potentially with absolutely nothing, and the Browns doing nothing for you, going forward as well. So that's kind of where this thing's at. It's still a little sloppy. It's a little messy. We'll see if it gets ironed out, but the settlement that was reached, it's off track now. Because this process was supposed to be signed off on by now.
So the Browns are probably pissed about this. The Browns thought they were all the way through, and then you have this another roadblock that seems to pop up.
They're not thrilled.
They can't be. I'd be pissed too if I were them. Like, you got this agreement with Justin Bibb. You basically that's the guy you have to deal with first and foremost. You guys come to this conclusion, and then you get these city council members, and they've done this in the entire time. These city council members that act like they walk on water. They just want some sort of influence or some sort of, like, we matter in this discussion. And I got news for you guys. Let it go.
Yeah.
It's done. It's over. Let it go.
And there's a misunderstanding of just the whole financial picture of this as well.
What credit are they seeking out? That's the confusing part of this, too. Like, all of a sudden, you get a couple more million dollars here and there. You really feel like you bend the Browns over and you get a couple more million dollars. If that even happens, if I'm the Browns, by the way, I'm not dealing with this at all. I'm like, I did everything with Justin Bibb. Like, you guys, you sort it out with Bibb if you want, but we came to this conclusion.
Well, that's exactly what's happening right now. The Browns are just
that's what I would do too. I'd play hardball if I were the Browns.
Yeah, well, they're not playing hardball. They're just saying, you guys work it out. We
did what we had to do.
We have an agreement. We negotiated with the person we're supposed to negotiate with, and that's the mayor. We came to an agreement, and it's on you to honor that agreement.
If you keep offering more, it's like dealing with terrorists almost. If you keep offering more and more, then who else is going to pop out of the woodwork to be like, no, we also want this as well? And like at some point, it does become a little unfair to what they've already agreed to when it comes to the mayor and the team.
And they're going to get a check for $25 million,
You're going to make money hand over fist.
They're not getting an extra $25 million between now and the new year, right?
Right.
They could from the Browns. And then there's all these other.
It smells like greed is what it smells like, Daryl. I don't love this, and it's not like I'm sitting here defending the Browns,
right?
But in this instance, I think I am because I just let them move forward. They paid you handsomely. I don't love this.
And you know, between January 1st, 2029, and January 1st of 2033, they get a $5 million payment totaling $25 million over 5 years, right? Then there's from 2029 to like 2038, there's an additional $2 million payment that gets made that can be used for whatever the city.
It's not like the entire time these people on the city council people have just been the most annoying part of this whole entire process. Yeah. They keep trying to insert themselves in places that I just don't think they should be inserting themselves.
And the whole reason we got to this point, and I think this is also where the city council is frustrated with the mayor, is because, well, when the mayor took office and went from Frank Jackson to Justin Bibb.
Yeah.
The Browns were making plans with Frank Jackson. Remember the whole lakefront development project? Mm-hmm. It was beautiful, all those renderings in 2021.
Yeah.
Well, Mayor Bibb came in and was like, I got other priorities right now. You're not it. Mm-hmm. No disrespect to you, the Cleveland Browns, but I've got other things I'm dealing with, not you. And the Browns are like, well, we've got a major issue that needs to be solved here. And so the Browns took a back burner, took a back seat.
Yeah.
And, well, they went ahead and made other plans because, well, they weren't getting a lot of movement with the mayor's office and trying to move forward with the lakefront redevelopment and a subsequent renovation of the existing stadium. So they went and made other plans out in Brook Park. And I think that's another piece of the frustration for Cleveland City Council is that, well, because the mayor and whoever else was in on those discussions with the team, well, they kind of drugged their feet, and well, the Browns went and made other plans because they couldn't sit around and wait for the city to get things together. I mean, it's a very sticky situation, and then you throw in all the problems they're having at Gateway financially right now. You know, I mean, Cleveland had to cut a check for $20 million, so I don't know where they're finding all this money for these stadiums, and I don't know where Cleveland thinks they're going to keep finding money to keep the Browns and have them in that stadium. And that was one of many questions I asked today from folks that are actually in the room. But the long and short of it is city council's holding up this agreement with the Browns that was reached with the city of Cleveland. And the Browns right now are just playing wait and see to see where this thing goes. But
all right.
In the meantime, they're moving forward in Brook Park. The dirt's getting moved and they're getting ready to break ground in the first quarter of 2026.
All right, Daryl. Thanks for the insight. One more segment left with Daryl and myself. We'll do in case we missed it next right here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose.
So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select 1-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only. Limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location. While supplies last.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.